We are so excited that you are here to listen to the Script Cake Podcast.
Go ahead. Make my day.
We want to help you develop your idea into a great screenplay, and who knows, maybe you'll write the next big blockbuster.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
Well, there's always a chance, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Are you ready to learn about screenwriting?
Yes, Will Steinberg!
All right, then. Let's get started. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Script Cake Podcast. My name is Lavinder Gill, and I am so excited to have two fellow fighting pickles on the call with me today. Today, we're going to talk about a fantastic new book called Keys to the Production Office by Jen Hare and Galana Lobel. Welcome to the Script Cake Podcast, ladies.
Thank you.
So Jen and Galana have both worked in production offices for how long now?
Over 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a little while.
And they have brought their experience and come together and built it in this book that will explain to you everything. And I do mean every little possible thing that you would need to know to be working in a production office. Not only do they break down the positions of what everyone's job is, not only do they break down the logistics of what it means to become a production assistant, they also have examples of what works and what doesn't work. And there is a million forms in this thing as well. So can you guys tell me how the idea for this book came about?
Jen, do you want to start us off?
Sure. So as Lavinder said, we are fellow fighting pickles, and we were actually at school at the same time. So we so that's where we met. And Galana had So we both started as production coordinators, right? We were both working as production coordinators and worked our way up that ladder. And what we kept finding, and especially in episodic television, is we have a lot of PA turnover, a lot of summer interns, and part of our job is making sure that these kids become assets to the production office team. And so what that would require is me as a coordinator, as the person managing that office, I would have to devise what I called a little PA book. And every time a new person came in, I would sit them down and we'd go through, here's what happens in the production office. Here's what I need from you. Here's some forms you need to know, and off and running. Well, unbeknownst to me, I get this email from Galana in like 2015, where she's promoting this book that she self-published, which was almost exactly what I had been teaching my PAs on my shows, but she was doing on her shows in New York. So I reached out to her and I was like, Galana, this is fantastic. Oh my gosh, I had no idea you were doing the exact same thing. It sounds like we're not the only ones having to teach PAs. And so at that point we decided, okay, maybe we should start collaborating. And in 2018, in a hotel lobby in Brooklyn, we sat down and outlined what we thought this book could actually flesh out to be. And about a year later, March of 2020, we started writing.
Yeah. And you guys have crushed it, I got to tell you, because when I first heard about the book, I think I thought about it from a production assistant standpoint. And I think for the most part, that's the angle that you tell the elements of the stories in the book from. But I think it's also invaluable for UPMs, line producers, you know, anyone that's working in that entire line. Have you gotten any feedback about that?
Well, the feedback I think we've gotten is that the book does cover a lot of what happens in production. I mean, we definitely took it as UPMs ourselves. We took it from that perspective because that's the path that we came up. We came up from office PAs to production coordinators to become production managers and line producers. That's one traditional path. The book also covers a lot of other pathways. And so while it does start from the perspective of a production office assistant, our goal was really to show that these skills translate to a number of different roles, that there are art PAs, there are editorial PAs, PAs in lots of different departments that can all learn from this same foundation, and it can take them on any pathway. So if you want to be an editor, starting as an office PA could still lead you to that position. And so really the book is supposed to take this wider scope of what are all of the elements that you need in a production that can take you on whatever path that might be.
Yeah, I think that anyone who's interested in working in the film industry, whether it be from a production assistant standpoint, all the way to being a producer, a director, a screenwriter, you have to understand how these things are put together. You know, I think there's this notion out there that, you know, everyone dreams of accepting their Academy Award in whatever field they're in, or being at a movie premiere, you know, meeting famous people. But there's an entire other side of logistics that have to happen. And I would say it's probably harder to put together a package like this because you're on the fly from day one when you're making a film. Okay. Like, it's a new office. It's a new thing. It's like starting a whole new business from scratch in a matter of weeks or days sometimes. I think I was just telling you, I wrote a script recently. I finished the script 2 or 3 weeks ago, and today's the first day of filming. Like, in that 3 week period, they've found production offices, found crew, found cast, found places for people to stay, and done all the logistics that are involved in that. It is a skill set that also transfers. I know a bunch of people that worked in the film industry that now work in other areas, and people are kind of blown away by the efficiency that they have.
Yeah,
I think that efficiency is forced upon us. And that being said, I think you did an incredibly efficient job of putting this together. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is about the artwork in here, because the artwork is fantastic. Is that something that you guys had done for you or was existing? Where did that come from? And it's hilarious also, by the way.
Well, we wanted to make sure that the book wasn't just going to be text. Right? We work in a visual medium of film and television, and there are a lot of visual learners out there. So it was really important that we had a lot of visual elements that would help guide any reader through the steps, the transitions, all of the things that they need to know and visualize, you know, down to how to file paperwork to be able to visualize what that looks like. So we have a couple of artists who have contributed to that. We hired this incredible artist that Jen knew, Samantha Osborne, who did most of the illustrations throughout the book. Also, Jennifer's father contributed a lot of the cartoon drawings and all the keys throughout the book, the keys that you need to collect to be able to unlock any door. And then I did a few sketches myself that came from the previous iteration of the book. But we thought it was really important for visual learners to be able to experience what we were talking about and not just reading it.
And if you notice, sorry to cut you off, but a lot, you said, I think you mentioned this before, but there are a lot of templates, there are a lot of documents, a lot of sample paperwork, and all of those align. All of those, there's continuity between all of them. So if you really deep dive into it, you can start with the little script scenes that Galana wrote, and then all the one line schedule and the shooting schedule and the sides and the call sheet all align with the material from those script pages. So there's continuity throughout. So you can get a full scope of the understanding of what those documents convey, how they convey it, and where that information comes from. And it's all about, you know, it's a fighting pickle story. So it's hilarious.
And for those of you that don't know what Fighting Pickle is in reference to, is we are all graduates of the University of North Carolina School of the Arts School of Filmmaking, which is an art school that has no sports team. And somewhere along the line, the Fighting Pickle became our mascot. And so we are all proud Fighting Pickles. And that's what we're referring to right there. So go Fighting Pickles. Also, how did you get the rights to use Fighting Pickles? Because it's everywhere in this, and it just makes me chuckle every time I see it.
Yeah, we just ask.
It's amazing what you can get when you ask for
something. Yeah.
And so, and you wrote this kind of like a textbook, it feels like. It doesn't feel like, I mean, one of the things I wanted to, you know, mention because of the visuals in here, I would sometimes get concerned when I read a book and it's just words. Thousands of words on every page, and it's a lot to get through. And the fact that you took the time to make it visual for this visual medium. I think it's incredibly effective because it was a really easy read for me. Yeah. I think you got about 200 pages, and then you've got, and then another 50 pages of forms and indexes, all kinds of information. Can you tell me a little bit about how it's organized and how you decided about how you were going to lay this out and why you did it that way?
After we first sat down and we're like, okay, here's everything that we think we want to include. Then we started fleshing out what made the most sense to include. And as you mentioned earlier, with approaching it from that PA perspective, us revisiting how we got started and what our biggest questions and challenges were as we got into the industry. And, you know, we start the book with geography and the basic production processes and just laying that foundation of where you are, where this job takes place, both geographically and down to even where you may end up putting your desk. And then we close, we go all the way to the other side and close with places you could find work, right? And we wanted to kind of make that transition. Now, we've seen other books structured where it's, you know, prep, filming, and wrap, but that didn't make sense for how we wanted to present the content in this particular format. We thought that organizing it differently in a sense of how we encountered it when we started, like, hey, maybe we didn't know all the exact responsibilities of the office staff. So we have an entire chapter dedicated to that. And then, you know, section three is everything about, it's basically one long job description of what an office PA is. Mm-hmm. And then down to section four is really our handbook model of here's the responsibilities that you're going to be, here's the tasks that you're going to be assigned and exactly how to do it. And then to support all that, you have to have a chapter on production paperwork. You have to, you know, make sure people know what the documents are that they're going to be handling and what information is on them. But we also include things like after section six, we really get into how to be a professional in the workplace, you know, office etiquette, phone etiquette, things that can be applicable to any job environment, not necessarily just film and television. We also wanted to make sure we covered the realities of working in the job, because as you said, it's not all glitz and glamour. It's not all Hollywood and fancy. It's, hey, how do I make sure I get paid? How do I make sure that I protect myself from shows that may or may not always be legit? Like looking out for yourself, especially in that vulnerable stage when you're first starting out. And then, of course, we wanted to make sure we talked about production safety and going green. We have a section that is a little bit of a curveball that focuses really on episodic television and the different types of episodic television, how that relates to you as an office PA. And then we close out with, you know, various ways that you can find work. And it ties back in because at the beginning, you know, you could look and you could say, look, I'm in Indianapolis right now. I'm not in a major production city. I left LA to come here. So it's kind of revisiting those things that we outlined in section 10 of, okay, who do I reach out to? What are those opportunities if you're not in Hollywood and in New York? Where do you find those opportunities?
A big theme for us was making this information accessible. So that, like Jen said, no matter where you are in the US or even internationally, you can find work in the industry and you can start to build your career. Also, not everyone gets to go to film school. They're not as fortunate as we were to be able to have that foundation. So using this book, which is written, yes, like a textbook, but also like a pocket guide, a manual that they can have on the start of any job. And just with this, without a film degree, without a trade school, they could have the opportunity to know what takes place in an office and get the job and become successful and start to build their career from the ground up. Making this information available to anyone of any background and any experience level was really important for us from the get-go. Yeah. Because often I think that the film industry can be elitist and closed-minded and closed-doored. And here we were like, wait, there should be no secrets to how hard it is to work in the industry. We're just going to tell you everything that you could have to do, you might have to do, and, you know, good luck. Like, now we've given it to you in your pocket. Anyone can be successful here if they work hard enough.
Right. And It's so comprehensive. You guys did such a fantastic job, because as I'm reading this, I'm flashing back to, you know, first I was flashing back to producing classes with the late Stephen Jones, where we, I think we all learned from Stephen.
Yep.
It would hammer us on set etiquette and logistics and so many details. That's one of the things that I loved about School of the Arts. Whenever I went to work on a crew somewhere and they found out where I went to school, they would go, "Oh, thank God."
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you saying that? And they're like, because you know what the hell you're doing. You've been on sets. You understand how etiquette works. You know the work. You know, we're not just a theory school. So yeah. a little shout out to School of the Arts there.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to mention that made me crack up, on page 28, you have a graphic number 3, why being an office PA is awesome.
It's a good one.
It is. And there's a bunch of good reasons, but one of them really cracked me up. It says, every show is a new experience. And it's got a little thought bubble that says, I've never seen an elephant in New York City. And the reason this cracked me up is one of the first movies I wrote that got made. I remember I was writing it for hire, and I was near the end of the writing of it, and I had an idea. And I called the producer, who was in Austin, Texas. And I said, hey, can I write an elephant into this movie? And they were like, let me get back to you. And they spent a day trying to figure out how to find an elephant to shoot it. And they're like, okay, we can make it happen. And I wrote an elephant. So there was an elephant running down the street.
Amazing. In
this movie that got made years ago. So not only is it funny, but it connects with people.
That's excellent.
Well, there's the one in there about some parent shouting at the screen in the movie theater. And that was my mom. It was like, uh-huh. Oh yeah, that's my daughter on the screen. I'm like, mom, there's nobody cares. Okay.
Your mother cares.
She cares.
Your mother cares. And, yeah. And she is proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Standing up in the middle of a movie theater. That's my daughter's name on the screen. Thanks, mom. I'm not embarrassed.
Yeah. And I think it's important. Everyone should feel proud of the work that they do on a film set. So they should all stand up in the credits and shout, that's my name. Or that's my kid's name.
At least stay for the credits. Hashtag
stay for the credits. Yeah.
That was a requirement at the School of the Arts. We were not allowed to leave until every credit was over, because it doesn't matter if you're the bottom of the line PA or the producer. Without you, that film's not the same.
All right.
And
100%.
Another big shout out to PAs, because, you know, the bad stuff rolls downhill and they're at the bottom of it. And on a film set, I don't know how a film set would function without PAs.
100%.
Because they do. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yes, they do so much to lift up the production. If you look, we have a pyramid graphic. That shows the PAs at the bottom of the pyramid, but they're the foundation. Mm-hmm. So the only way to go is up. But without them, without that solid foundation, you can't build a strong production.
So I want to get to the humor in this thing. Which one of you is the comedian here? Because, you know, this is not what I would say, something I would generally think of as an entertaining thing to read about. You know, to be a production assistant on a film or to work in a production office. But I found myself cracking up over and over and over again. There is one section, I think, where you talk about dress etiquette. And you're like, don't wear your favorite jeans with the rear end with a hole in it. Don't wear this and don't wear that. But my favorite line was, dress as if you're just about to meet Tom Hanks. And I thought, that's not only poignant, that's hilarious. And it cracked me up. Yeah, where did all the humor come from in this?
Well, I mean, I think you need to have a sense of humor to make it in this business.
That's fair.
And both Jen and I, we have hit our heads against a number of brick walls. And if we couldn't laugh about it, I don't know that we would keep doing it. So between the two of us, I think we were able to bounce a lot of that humor back and forth. And we have different senses of humor, but I think it works throughout the book very cohesively.
To
lighten the information. You know, there are times in the book where we're really firm and we're like, this is really hard. And we want to drive that home so that, you know, you don't enter this industry lightly, because it's not about the glamour. It's really challenging all along the way. But it is important to lighten that load and to be able to laugh at yourself and laugh about the situations that you may find yourself in. And
we laughed writing this book. I mean, we had so much fun. I mean, honestly, there's definitely been conversations where like, we can't wait to do like, you know, a DVD extras of it, because we would just go off on like every single chapter and just telling the stories and why we said the things we said. And I don't know, it does still crack me up. And even the images still crack me up. I mean, there's just, it was important for us to make it digestible with the humorous element in it. So,
and it's littered with Easter eggs, mm-hmm. both the fighting pickle, Star Wars, our friends and families are littered throughout birthdays.
Yeah.
There's lots of really good Easter eggs in there.
If you really read all the documents, you'll find some good stuff.
Ooh, yeah. I might have missed some of that stuff. I'll have to go back and look at it again. Now I have another thing that I loved about this book, and I think this is the best review that I can give of it. Probably about 30 or 40 times while reading it, I was like, man, I wish I had this when I started out. But that's not the best testament. The best testament is, man, I'm glad I have this now. Because I'm going to be going out and doing stuff. I don't remember a lot of this stuff from 25 years ago when I was in film school. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You didn't teach this in film school.
Yeah. There's so much detail in here. Like one of the things that, you know, really stuck out to me that I thought was important was you describe like simple things like an AD kit. You know, talk about the AD kit and, you know, what's important about the AD kit. But I just want to mention that anyone who wants to work their way up in the industry, I mean, this is like clear, not only step by step of what you have to do, but what you have to get, how you have to be prepared, what you have to have. So, what is involved in the AD kit and why'd you add that in here?
Oh, well, so the AD kit is actually basically the on-set production office, right? But it's the production office that has to build this for the AD team, because it's something that happened in pre-production and that they need to actually do their job on set. So while the production office is not physically located on set, right, they're a separate office entity. They're the hub of all production operations, but they're not down on set. So we want the ADs to, because they're the other half of production, right? They're kind of, I don't know, yin and yang. Is that kind of a good way to say it? You know, it's like, they're our counterpart on the set. So we want them to be able to function without having to call us for everything. So just honestly, it's a kit of everything from office supplies to an on-set printer to forms and templates and production documents that they have at their fingertips. But that's always the thing that the office gets tasked with the week before production is the second AD comes in and said, here's my list for what I need for the AD kit. And we're scrambling to help make sure everything is going and getting ready for day one. And okay, we got to build the kit, but here's a book that says, okay, by the way, here's what's going to be expected in the AD kit. They're going to customize it, but here's a good starting point. You can get that built at any time during prep and then augment and you're ready to go. So it gets you a step ahead of the game on that.
And that was part of the goal of like including lists like the AD kit, like our craft service recommendations for the production office, you know, things that we don't think about or that we take for granted in the office. But that an office PA who's one step ahead, who's able to have this, you know, list in their pocket and knows what to buy at Trader Joe's is going to be a huge asset to the production. And really is going to help everybody. I mean, the whole point of the office is really to help everybody else do their jobs better. So an office PA who can be one step ahead, who can support that work is really going to move up much faster.
No, I couldn't agree with you more about that. Two things I want to mention. One is you're talking about crafty. I like how you mentioned that the PA has to go get crafty, and all of a sudden their favorite snack appears. So the PA has some power there as well.
A little bit, you know. Look, there's this chocolate peanut butter things from Trader Joe's. That's a winner. And any PA that gets those and brings them to the office, yeah, that's a PA that's going to stay for a while.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another section you talk about, I think you've had a bunch of other people in production offices basically list out what they're looking for in a production assistant. Can you talk about some of the traits that production offices are looking for?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jen and I, obviously, we've been working for a while, so we just went to our peers and said, "Hey, what do you absolutely need or want in an office PA?" So we can tell those out there who want to get into the office to really, you know, start to focus their resumes and their work experience and to be better prepared for interviews. And I think it varies. It is a bit subjective, you know, of how a production coordinator might like to work specifically in an office. But in general, you know, everyone wants a go-getter. Everyone wants someone who's going to do the research, who's going to work really hard, who's going to show up on time, who's going to be passionate about the work. They might not be the most perfect at doing every skill set, but someone who's going to work really hard to try to bring that to the table, who's going to, you know, dress to impress and answer the phone when it rings on the first time. And things like that.
I mean, I always say I'm inclined to hire somebody who's got the right attitude, who wants to be there, over someone who has tons of experience, but a bad attitude about being there, right? I want someone who's eager, willing to learn, and knows how to demonstrate that. You know, it's hard to determine this in a interview, but just in the process of sourcing somebody that's interested in the project and the communication and into the interview process, you can kind of get a sense of that person. You can get a sense of their follow through, their communication skills, and that's how you can start vetting, is this person right? But also, you know, going to the subjective thing, because you are with this team for such a long period of time, it needs to be someone who fits with that family that you're putting together, right? So everyone has to be able to get along, the right temperament. So that's something you have to deduce. And so being even keeled, being able to you know, manage your emotions, which I'm not always the best at, but part of the hiring is someone who's going to fit in with the team. So you may be the most skilled, perfect person for the job, but if for some reason, whatever the office politics are, you might not get hired. And I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen with a friend of mine in one of my office, super skilled, talented guy, but just his personality was not something that would mesh with where he wanted to be. And so it was hard. It was hard to see that. So, and it happens.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that anyone should give up.
Sure.
Right? Just, you know, Jen and I are pointing out what can be challenging about it, you know, and a lot of, with any job, not just getting a job in the film industry, there's a lot that's out of our control. But that does not mean that someone should give up just because, you know, they've hit a challenge.
And this person never did. He never did. You know, he's still working hard. He's still with that team, you know, so and more power to him. I'm very proud of him. So,
yeah, I think sometimes when you have these kids coming out of film school, you know, as producers or directors or whatever, you know, they may not have the exact attitude they need. They need to be humbled a little bit once they get to set because they're PAs. You know, I know that, you know, sometimes I'm teaching and, you know, they'll find out about the films that I made, which, you know, none of them are huge blockbusters. But when you're my age and you see anyone's made a movie, you're like, that's a Herculean task in and of itself, even if it didn't turn out well. Congratulations, you know. And so, yeah, I think that's something that's great advice to anyone entering a set. You got to be humble and you got to be hungry and you got to go after it. Let me ask you guys a question. What was your first PA gig?
My first PA gig was, I started the day after I graduated high school, was this indie feature in New York City that my cousin got me a job on in New York. And I came and I slept on my great aunt's couch for several weeks and worked on this really terrible indie feature that was also a defining experience in my life because I hadn't even started film school yet. And working on this really insane project where I didn't sleep all summer and I was in New York and it was hot and gross and muggy and we were all over the place at every hour of the day, to be able to be on that film and do a lot of different jobs every day, from working in the office to running errands on set to working with the props department. I then started film school and was like, oh yeah, I'm doing this. This is what's happening with the rest of my life is I'm going to make movies. Maybe better than that one. Maybe not. But
my first PA job was actually on a show no one's ever heard of called The Bachelor.
Season two.
So that tells you how old I am. But season two of The Bachelor, I just moved out to Los Angeles. And first day on the job, had to go buy a birthday card for the showrunner. And it only took me 3 tries and almost got fired doing it. But I came back eventually with that right birthday card.
Wow.
That's amazing. But wait, Jen, we both worked on Two Soldiers.
Yeah, but he has PA, first PA job. Right. Did you ask first PA job? Because that wasn't my first job, but it was my first PA job.
Right.
I've actually worked as a second AD and other things before I worked as a PA.
Yeah. I'd say that was a pretty incredible experience for us while we were still students in school to work in collaboration with a production while we were students.
Right. The School of the Arts had a relationship with that crew. Didn't that movie win an Academy Award or something?
It sure did. It won an Oscar for Best Short Film, I think, at the time.
2004 live action short. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess it's been all downhill for you since then. Start out with an Academy Award winning film. Wow.
Well, but it was because, for me, that's how I started my production path, really, is because the relationships I made on that project while we were shooting in Winston-Salem. I was one of the 2 second ADs on the project. And when I eventually moved out to Los Angeles after graduation, that producer had moved on to a pilot called The Closer. And he hired me on that to PA on that. And then when that show got picked up, he asked me again to rejoin that team. And I built a lot of my career through that production office, growing up the ladder. We did the show. I was on for 7 seasons of that show. So a lot of what I contributed to the book came from my experience in that production office.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
there's some pictures even too.
I'm going to share my first 2 projects that I worked on. I got hired in Winston-Salem while I was still a student to be an office PA on a Cheerios commercial. Nice. That they shot for a NASCAR that Cheerios sponsored.
Wow. And
so the first time you show up on set, there's these world famous NASCAR drivers and all this stuff going on. And, it was a lot to take in. And then working as an office PA, it was an interesting experience. And I think that's one of the reasons I ended up becoming a producer initially, was having that experience and seeing how the office runs basically everything. The production office is the brains of the entire process. And then my second one, I was a transportation PA.
Oh.
For a PBS shoot at the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina. And what was interesting about that is there's a lot of interesting things. The first thing that was interesting is I showed up, I introduced myself to the line producer at the time. And then he handed me $5,000 in cash to go buy stuff.
Yep. Those were the days.
All right. Yeah.
I just held the money and I looked at him. He goes, "It's a weird business we live in, isn't it?" And I'm we just met. And he handed me a bunch of cash and told me
100%.
It's crazy.
But that goes to show you how much faith and trust we put in our production assistants. I mean, truly, you are handed the equivalent of that sometimes day one, where it's the producer's credit card or the show credit card. But you are entrusted with a lot of responsibility in that position. And that's very powerful.
One of the things that I was surprised about in the book is a chapter where your story begins. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect the amount of advice and information that you give. And even something as simple as the online resources that you listed, there's a bunch of them that I was not aware of. And I've only been working in this industry longer than you have been working in this industry. Can you tell me some of the bits of information in that chapter and, why you deem them to be so important?
Well, let's see. I know that chapter covers everything from, we touch on what's appropriate for a production resume and what to how to be in an interview. We don't deep dive into either one of those, and we say that very clearly up front because there are other resources out there that expand on it exponentially. And so we just played on, we picked out what was most pertinent, what was most applicable from our perspective. And then we also talk about there are a variety of avenues to that you can explore to get into, to meet the right people, right? Take advantage of what is happening in your city. Is it a film festival that's in town that you can go and you can go introduce yourself to? Are there online communities? A lot of times there's a local Facebook group that you can join, and it's a lot of times it's full of enthusiasts, but every now and then there are some professionals that might be a part of that you can connect with.
Film commissions?
Yeah, the film commission, that's what they're there for. They are your local resource for what is available to shows that are coming into town. And a lot of times they have production and crew listings. So get yourself listed and list yourself as a production assistant, because that is one of the first people I'm going to be looking for when I come to town. And I usually check the film office website to see who's listed. So,
And that chapter also goes back to that concept of like, you have to walk through the door, right? Here, we've just given you 9 chapters of all of the skills, all of the tools that can help you become a successful office production assistant, but you still have to take that extra step to make that work for you. And that means, like Jen said, going out there, meeting people, networking, taking, you know, opportunities where you can find them, and building off of that. And that goes beyond, you know, having a resume, that goes out there and getting that face time and really immersing yourself in your community and in the industry in your community. And that can be anywhere, right? Indiana, you know, Atlanta, Mobile, Alabama, New York, LA, anywhere.
Yeah, even here in Philadelphia, I know when I'm putting a production on, because I had moved here maybe 7 years ago and I was putting together a project, I didn't know anyone. And, you know, a lot of films shoot on location in Indiana and everywhere else. They're coming in. They don't know anyone. They don't know who they're going to hire locally, and they're going to go there and try to find it. And I went straight to the Philadelphia film office and started scrolling down their website. I can't tell you how many different people that I've met over the years that just walk up to you, you know, confidently asking to be a part of working on something. And, you know, you take note of that.
Yeah.
And I can probably name a dozen people off the top of my head that, you know, I hired simply because of the way that they approached me, or the way that they did something. I remember at the School of the Arts, when I was teaching there, anybody could pitch for senior films, their ideas for senior films. And tons of seniors and juniors did, a couple of sophomores and one freshman. And his idea wasn't great. But I remember, okay, I'm going to keep an eye on you. And we still work together to this day. I was on the phone with him last night and doing some stuff. And it was that I'm going to take advantage of this opportunity.
Taking the initiative.
Yeah, it's having that initiative. And I think that's important. I think you highlight that multiple times throughout the book, is that you have to have it. Because the fact of the matter is, the industry that we work in is an industry a lot of people want to work in. You know? And there is no shortage of PAs that are available. You know, everybody wants their kid to be on your film, and everybody wants their, you know, friend's friend and tries to recommend it. But if you don't bring it, it's no skin off our nose to say, you can go home now. Yeah. I have a line of 45 people outside the door willing to take this unpaid internship or whatnot. And it's a highly, highly desirable field that we're in. It's a hard field. I think we could all attest to that. But one of the beautiful things about your book is you highlight so many of the things that will keep you working in this industry. And it's, you know, a lot of it's knowledge, a lot of it's attitude, a lot of it's timeliness, a lot of it's confidence. And I love that your book covers more than just logistics. Because that's only one part of it.
Yeah, only one part.
Yeah.
You got to be well-rounded.
Yeah. Can you give me some examples of well-rounded people that you've worked with, that you saw them quickly rise up to the ranks, and what it was that helped them move along? I'm sure you've mentioned some of those in the book here.
We do. I think we do mention throughout the book. For me, there's one young woman like really comes to mind who was and maybe is still part of the start of this whole book journey for me, was that I was a production coordinator working on a movie, and she was an office PA who came in, and she worked really hard, but she would be constantly frustrated with how much work needed to be done and how much knowledge she didn't have to efficiently do the job and my very high expectations. And so she asked me one day, can you just give me a list or write down or outline what it is you expect from me as an office PA so that I can figure it out and I can bring it to the table? And I went home one weekend and I wrote her 50 pages of everything I expected from her as an office PA. And I brought it in on Monday morning. And that was the first iteration of my production office handbook from information I'd been collecting for years, which Jen, I know, did the same. And we talked about this in the beginning of this podcast, was, you know, how we collected information from our own experiences and compiled it. And I gave her this handbook and I said, I need you to do all of these things every day. And then I self-published that version of it and handed it out to office PAs and other coordinators for their offices in New York. But that young woman was really, for me, the start of trying to understand and grasp how to share this information. And she is now on her way to being a production manager. She's been production coordinating huge TV shows, much bigger shows than I ever coordinated. And I'm just so proud of her. Every time I see she's on a new show and she has told me she wants to be a producer and she is working her way there. And that's, you know, someone who just took the initiative to say, this is what I need. This is what I want to do my job better, to meet your expectations. And she has just continued going for it, job to job to job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had one of my former students worked as a production office PA on a film that shot in town that was a big indie film. I won't mention names. And then I looked up like 3 years later and she was producing the movies for that same director.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, there you go. You know?
Yeah.
And there was no doubt when she went to work, like, this is someone you would hire because mm-hmm. they worked hard. They put their head down. They did the grunt work. They did the, you know, all the stuff that needed to be done to make it happen. And it was that combination of all the things you mentioned in the book. It's attitude, it's determination, it's confidence, it's skill set, you know, it's knowing how to get things done. And a lot of times, I don't think I've ever been on a film where something new that's never happened to me before has come up and we had to figure out, you know, how to deal with the situation. I remember when I was a student, Stephen Jones would always harp on, make sure you drive every pathway that you list on a map. Okay. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Like,
he would
yell at us for all this stuff. And it was like, yeah. I'm like, it's so stupid because now all the kids do is they just GPS.
Yes.
Right. And it didn't occur to me how important what he was saying was until the very first day of my first feature film. I don't know if you guys remember, I was directing a film called Chicks 101 back in the day.
I remember.
Little romantic comedy is my first film I directed. We raised a few hundred grand. We're shooting on 35 millimeter. It's the first day. And I won't tell you about the first debacle that happened. Actually, that was with our mutual friend, Keith Harris, was the lead actor in that. But the second debacle, we were going from location one to location two. And no one had driven it.
No.
Okay. And the truck comes around a bend and there's a bridge that is 12 feet high or 11 feet high. And the truck was a foot higher. Thankfully, the driver saw it and slammed on his brakes, but the car behind him slammed into the back of the truck.
No. Oh, God.
And on the first day of my first film, I went from having 4 or 5 hours to shoot a scene to having like 45 minutes because it took that long for the cops to come and move all the cars behind them out of the way, back the truck out and deal with that. You know, it's something so simple. you know, yeah. that I was taught in school, but I didn't realize how important it was until it came back to bite me in the rear end.
I do. I tell the, because that sometimes on these smaller projects I'm on, you know, the office is the one having to generate the maps. And that's exactly what I tell them. Have you driven this? Have you actually turn by turn? And we even, it's even good sense for navigating a production office. We talk about how to set up signs so you know where you're going in an office. And it's like, have you walked to this path? Where will people look so they know where the bathrooms are, where the kitchen is, where accounting is, you know? So all of that, make it easily accessible and have experienced it yourself so you can answer those questions.
Yeah. Another thing I love about this book is your attention to detail. And it's that kind of detail that's going to help anyone who buys and reads this book get to that next level. So
we really hope so. We're glad that that's, you know, what you've taken from the book. But, you know, we, like I said, we wanted to put in everything that no one ever told us.
Yeah.
You know, as a producer, I'm reading it. I'm going, yep.
See?
And that's what this book provides. And so if you are someone who has a desire to work in the film industry, who is in film school, who, you know, wants to be involved in this glamorous, you know, movie premiere and rubbing elbows scenario that one of my favorite thoughts was on the first time I ever got out of a limo for a movie premiere on a movie I'd produced. I was like, oh, only took 5 years to get here for this one night.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the business, is that 5 years of the grunting and getting it done and pushing it through. I love your book.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you've written it. And I think this book is going to help a lot of people. So thank you guys for coming on the podcast.
We really appreciate it. I hope it does. Great. So, yeah, right. Thank you.
Good luck with the book, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Script Cake Podcast. If you're interested in purchasing my book and reading it, Script Cake Secrets, Top 10 Mistakes Novice Screenwriters Make and How to Fix Them, it is available everywhere on October 18th, 2022. You can go pre-order it today, or you can order it on the 18th on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and anywhere else books are available. Thank you again for listening to this episode of the Script Cake Podcast. Until next time.